Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV on this Thursday. It is me, it is Neil Jones in the studio with me for some hot transfer insight, which is basically, I think, what we've got you in to turn into Bad News Jones. Someone's got to fill Pierce's shoes, haven't they?
Absolutely, yeah, his loafers have got to be filled.
we've got plenty of bits and pieces to talk about. Obviously, you guys watching at home, please do feel free to get your questions in. If there's anything you really want to pick Neil's brain on, then do so in the comments and we'll get through some of them later on in the show. But let's go through some of the big ones that have been kind of getting rumoured this week and see how many holes we can put in them.
Get me gone out once.
Before we do, actually, I wanted to dive on a couple of things. Obviously, Ibrahima Konate did a reveal for his squad.
Yeah,
he's a keen lad.
I like it. Yeah, I think he's going to be really popular with Liverpool. I was actually saying that to someone this morning. I said he just feels like he's the right fit already, and I know we're waiting to see what he's like when he steps onto a pitch and things. But like, yeah, he's done. You know, he's got a bit of personality about him. He's obviously got, you know, working class and, well, very working class roots in France, in Paris, and yeah, he seems like someone who's going to do everything he can to seize this opportunity to play for Liverpool. It's funny, isn't it? Because, to crack on, I mean, we're going to talk about transfer rumours and there's a lot of excitement. He was signed so early, it's almost like, you know, he's not allowed to count, is he? You know, he's forgotten and, you know, could be...
Well, not if you're, Palmer from the Kevin Palmer, is it, who decided that, like, you know, clubs can get credited for players who they've literally not bought, Liverpool can't be credited for players that they actually have.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just funny how that works, isn't it? Sometimes, like, you know, if you, like, Keita was a bit like that, we waited a year for Keita, and now Konate was in the door nice and early and could be a really good bit of business.
For those who haven't seen it, go and check it out. It's all over Twitter at the moment, but the fact that he basically did a squad number announcement
video. It
was
like a baby reveal, wasn't it? It was like when they do that, baby gender reveal. Yeah. It's going to be number 5. Brilliant though, it's great with all the flares and all that.
But honestly, like, you know, he's had that stuff. He's been doing this, like, the countdown stuff using Dragon Ball Z gifs, and then he's got, like, the bottles of water with his own face on, and his kid's Liverpool cake for his birthday or whatever, and then he's doing shirt announcements. And it's mad to think Liverpool haven't, like, properly unveiled him yet. They've announced him.
He hasn't been, you know, walking around Kirby yet, doing the lean and
we don't even know what the Melwood lean replacement is.
The Kirby strut or something, maybe, you know. They could have that sort of that Thiago style, how are we, that little, like, what's it called, like a snack bite.
But Liverpool's social team is so on it. There's no way there's not the brain trust at LFC TV sat around going, well, what are we replacing the Melbourne League with?
There'll be some anime going on, I reckon, with Konate.
Absolutely amazing. But yeah, well good to get us kicked off. Look, let's start with something that you put yourself, Neil. We're going to start with Harvey Barnes. What was effectively, it felt to me like a throwaway line at the end of an article.
Yeah.
As launched 1,000 ships around the internet ever since.
Everything launched 1,000 ships.
Harvey Barnes admired by Liverpool.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm giving away a trade secret there. Listen, it's very hard to phrase things sometimes, but there's things that you know, there's things that you suspect, and there's things that you don't know. And I can openly admit that a lot of things that I don't know about Liverpool, but one thing I do know is that when I've spoken to people within Liverpool's staff, within Liverpool's recruitment team, within Liverpool's squad, certain players' names come up and they say, yeah, you know, he's a good player, he's very, very good. Harvey Barnes is certainly one of them. You know, I think he probably isn't a player that Liverpool are going to try and sign this summer. But it's one of them that if you see a link with Harvey Barnes pop up in the future, you can know for certain that there's a lot of people, including coaching staff and including recruitment staff, that think he's a very good player. So don't be surprised. But I like him. I think he's a really good player. I think him and Vardy last season when they were on song. I mean, it's probably no coincidence that Leicester's league form tailed off while him and Maddison dropped out of the side. Plays a couple of positions. He's got goals in him. I think he's one of them players as well that'll probably go to another level of goal scoring. I imagine he probably feels like he's one of them that's a bit unlucky sometimes, where you think, oh God, he hit that well, but it just went wide at a post. Yeah. And I think he's got other levels. But yeah, I watch him and think Liverpool wouldn't be a terrible destination for him. Not now, maybe, but maybe in the future.
This is the thing about where we're at with transfer rumours at the moment, because there's a few that definitely seem more legitimate than others. I mean, you know, it comes down to who's talking about these things.
Yeah.
Are you getting it from unverified Twitter sources, or are you getting it from legitimate?
So
there's clearly always an ongoing list. But some things, to your point there, there'll be ones that are clear, like the this season ones.
Yeah.
But it's hard for us to wrap our heads around the idea that you could watch a player that you might think he'll be a next summer kind of transfer.
Exactly that. And also there's ones, and this is probably the hardest bit. You know, you talk about next summer, but you talk about some of these players are, listen, if he goes or he gets injured and he's not there, then he's one that we could move across to. So, you know, let's look at someone like Rafinha from Leeds, for example. I don't know if he was he was in that same article with Harvey Barnes. Yeah. The same applies. God admires, shares an agent with Fabinho, so there's a little bit of a link there. Deco, the former Chelsea player, Barcelona player. But Rafinha is probably like one of them that you look at and go, well, yeah, good player. But you're talking 35, 40 million more maybe. And where does he play? He plays down the right where Mo Salah plays. Now, if Mo Salah goes, then you look and you say, well, hang on, you've got X amount. You can maybe buy a striker there, and Rafinha goes on the right. Mm-hmm. So he suddenly becomes sort of moves up the list. And that's difficult. It's difficult to sort of convey that sometimes, because everyone, you know, we've got Championship Manager mugs here, but a lot of people, that's their experience. Yeah. You know, that's their experience of it, is you have your short list and you have your targets and you move there and you put a bid in there and it gets accepted and then you whatever. It's a little bit more difficult to pin it down sometimes, and you know, sometimes you see it. Like, I don't think it's, you look at Ben Davis, for example, as a great extreme example of how things can just come out of absolutely nowhere because of circumstance. And you know, it sounds like a bit of a cop out to say it with a C, but that could be the case this summer, that something could happen. You know, you look at a Trent injury, or you look at an Alisson injury, or whatever it may be, God forbid not. But that's when things can suddenly wear into action.
No, I think it's really interesting. Just the point Neil makes. Yeah, Chris spent a ludicrous amount of money on Champ Manager the coasters, which
I like them.
They are really cool.
I thought they were like mini discs when I came in.
I mean, to be fair, we've got that many copies of Champ Manager 102 in this office. We probably could use them as coasters.
Best version, probably.
It is the best version by an absolute mile. Should we say to people watching live, Casey Delamere has just joined us, a brand new member. Thank you so much, Casey. You can use the emotes and stuff in the live chat alongside. As again, don't forget, if you just joined us now, if you want to get some questions in for Neil, I've said a few already, but yeah, get them in and we'll get to them a little bit later on in the show. Okay, Saul Nigue.
Yeah, not another one. I'm going to go back to a famous old one, but I know for a fact that he's had massive admirers in Liverpool and actually was quite close to signing for Liverpool. Brendan Rodgers era at Liverpool 2014. I think there was a spell around the January time where Liverpool were looking to get rid of Lucas Leiva, or Lucas Leiva was looking to get rid of Liverpool. And had he done so, Liverpool would have tried to sign Saul on a loan to buy. I think he was at Atletico and he ended up going on loan to Real Valladolid. But I know that they really like, or at least one or two members of the scouting team, including guys who covered them quite extensively in Spain, really like his sort of competitive element. I think he played centre-back for Valladolid and sort of played that. He's a very, very good player. I'm not sure how much he'd cost this summer. I'm surprised that Atletico Madrid would be looking to get rid of him, but I was surprised he wasn't in the Spain squad for the Euros. You know, there was a couple of couple of things about that Spain squad that really, and the way it was used during the tournament. Cough, Thiago. he's a player I think that'll have an awful lot of suitors around Europe. He's 26, I think he is. Real top level player, I think, and you know, I wouldn't be sort of getting his name on the back of the Liverpool shirt yet, but I do know that if there was an opportunity and the price was right, I think Liverpool would certainly want to be in that conversation.
It's my, because I've got this from Team Talk, who will have it from 12 different sources, saying the club have reached an agreement over a star man with minimum transfer fee set. I suspect that's probably a little bit
overshot. Yeah, is that one of them you've got to ring up and it's £2.50 a minute, and then you get to the story. Yeah. Team Talk and club call. Yeah,
yeah,
but,
definitely.
No, I certainly don't think it's that way advanced, but listen, like I can say about Barnes, about Rafinha, about other players, Neuhaus to a degree, a player who's got attributes that are admired, and you know, opportunity may be the key part of that, whether the price, whether the deal, whether the space arrives in the transfer window.
You mentioned him to me. Actually, he wasn't even on the agenda for this, but Ottavio, the Echo reporting today that there'd been that talk for a while that he was maybe going to be a make weight in like a Grujic move. I think the last thing I read on it was that they were saying that this Ottavio stuff is coming from Ottavio's camp.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to flag him up for a Liverpool move.
I don't, well, first bullet really fired into the carcass of a transfer room. Sorry, I don't think Ottavio's a one for Liverpool. Might be proven wrong in the future, but I don't think that is. I was saying to Chris actually last week on this that, you know, swap deals are people love a swap deal, and that's a bit of a champ manager sort of hangover, isn't it? That's always happens. It's very rarely that you see a swap deal come off. I think of not many, but Pjanic and Arthur, I think Barcelona, which was a bit of an accountancy swap deal, I think. Grujic is one that obviously I think we'll come to talk about, or he'll feature heavily, I think, in this show over the next few weeks just because of the situation. But Ottavio, I'm told, it's not one that's boiling. And it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, I think the rumour was that he had a release clause that expired at some point during this June and July, and that Liverpool would have to act fast. Well, they haven't. They haven't, you know, that has passed. I think it was Ebola that said it would be done by the end of a week, or it could be done by the end of a few weeks back. It hasn't been, and I don't expect it to be. Although I did reveal trade secret, but I did text Marco Grujic and ask him what type of player Ottavio is, and his reply was just good player. So yeah, he's got the Marco Grujic seal of approval. Good player.
Yeah. Fantastic. Brilliant. There we go. Done for us, darling. We've missed a massive trick there. Rating him. We'll move on from Ottavio for now. Another one that's kind of, we're seeing all over the place at the moment is Renato Sanches. I mean, anyone who's had a cursory glance at Portugal during the tournament, he's looked really good.
He has.
And I think particularly because there's this perceived Gini Wijnaldum hole in the squad, he looks exactly like the Gini Wijnaldum that we've done, you know, picking the ball up, rolling men, strong, you know, that kind of stuff. I can understand why if our couch sat at home on the couch, scouts are looking at something and thinking, I need to replace Gini Wijnaldum. Ding, 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 ding. We did have a super chat come in about this in particular from Devin Fisher saying, please tell me Renato Sanches is more than Twitter grumbles. Would love him for the future. So I'm seeing, again, I can't help, but I get that. You know, you're watching Portugal, you're thinking this guy's the business. Yeah. He was so highly rated. He's played, I mean, I was looking at his honours. Like, I mean, and how involved he's been is up for question. But he's won the Bundesliga, he's won the French League. He's won the
Euros.
He's won the Euros. Yeah. You know, and obviously he has played in England as well, albeit not much and
Wales.
Not well. Yeah, well, of course. Yeah.
We'll have complaints coming in, don't we?
Yeah, not pollen trees at Swansea, of course, but nonsense.
I wouldn't say nonsense, but I don't think I think the Twitter grumblings, as it was described, are louder than they need to be on this one. I think what would appear with Renato would be if it was a cut price deal, and I think if it was a real cheap, not cheap, but you know, a sort of a real, seen as a gamble I think it will be a gamble. You know, I know it's hard to sort of to look past that 2016 to 2018-19 sort of dip that he had. Because
well, the first thing anyone ever said, whenever you either go, wow, yeah, him, or people go, Swansea. It's crap at Swansea.
Yeah, yeah, and really didn't work out a buy-in for him besides, you know, the odd bit. I mean, I remember watching him just before them Euros. He played for Benfica in the Champions League. I think it would have been either CSKA Moscow or Zenit St. Petersburg away. It was definitely Russia away for Benfica. And it was just, I think he was 17, and you're like, whoa, what is this? And you see him in the Euros, and you think, wow, what a talent. And when he comes to Swansea, you know, I think the Liverpool fans probably were a bit like, hang on, why didn't we loan him?
Well, he was exactly, well, that's the point. Yeah, he was being heavily linked with a loan. Yeah. The chatter at the time was that, like, Klopp liked him, but wasn't going to develop a footballer for
someone else. And I get that. But I do wonder sometimes whether, you know, the sliding door moment that maybe he was someone that you can look and go, oh, he flopped at Swansea, which he did. I think the most famous thing from his time at Swansea was there was a video of him passing the ball to a steward, I think. He tried to ping one. They had to do it in a luminous kit, weren't they? I think he tried to ping one out to a steward. And like that became like a sort of, you know, a bit like Mo Salah's shot for Chelsea that ends up for a throw-in, you know, becomes the sort of the image of his time. But I wonder whether he would have fared a lot better at a bigger club, because it's sort of, I feel like he's got that personality of, you know, the spotlight sort of appeals to him, and maybe the spotlight wasn't as bright in Swansea as it could have been. I don't personally think Liverpool will sign him this summer, unless, of course, the deal becomes one of those ones that you think, do you know what, it's too good to turn down. Yeah. I've spoken to people at Liverpool who say, well, really, the costs associated with it, the idea that they'd buy him to not start for Liverpool just doesn't sort of fit, and it doesn't make sense on a few levels. I'd like to see him in the Premier League. I'd like to see him at a club like Liverpool, because I think he's one of them quite...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's got a bit of uniqueness to him that you think of a midfield, and you think, oh, I'd really like to see him sort of on song and flying at a club, and, you know, if it was Liverpool, all the better for it. But sadly, I don't think it will be this summer, personally.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, certainly, because, again, I mean, I think we've all got one. Everyone's got their play that they feel like they've unearthed from watching the Euros. You know, we just haven't. Granit Xhaka looks amazing, by the way.
That Mailer at left back for Denmark's my one, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's gone to Atalanta, mate. You know, like, just get over yourself. that's the way I look at it. Yeah. Played against Liverpool for Genk. I didn't notice him then, put it that way. Yeah.
How many times have done that on this? We've played against them. Did that happen? What did he do? Yeah, definitely. To be fair, I did that with Thiago. Don't remember Thiago touching the ball in the behind me. But there you go. Yeah. Proved that I know nothing. Right, we mentioned unverified Twitter sources earlier. Rudy Galletti, who is apparently, let me just get this confirmed, is an opinionista on TV for TV Dello Sport. Sky Sport, apparently. And then something about Chris Wood. I don't know. He hasn't got a tick, which doesn't mean nothing in the world. Some good people haven't got ticks.
Some people have got ticks. Don't worry.
He says, despite requests for a doku from many European clubs, first of all, Liverpool, Rennes want to keep him. The Belgian is happy in the French club at the moment and does not want to change teams. Jeremy Doku?
Yeah. Well, an easy one to link with Liverpool, given that there's a history there that Liverpool have looked at him and he's got... a lot of attributes that they look Liverpoolish, don't they? He likes to carry the ball, he likes to cut in, he likes to, you know, cause mayhem in the final third. So I think he'd certainly be one to be on Liverpool's radar, young enough and at a club that you'd think, his value isn't going to get to sort of 100, 150 million at Rennes.
Yeah.
You know, it might be one of those. I think Liverpool buying a forward this summer would depend on what happens with the players at the club, and I know that gets presented as sell to buy, and it sort of is in the sense, but it also creates space to buy. It's like
it's both, isn't it?
You end the summer with Minamino, Shaqiri, and Origi, and a new signing and Harvey Elliott and Oxlade-Chamberlain, and you're suddenly thinking, well, you know, we've got an awful lot of players on the wage bill there.
It's hard to remember a day for people when, like, you did with games as a kid, where you had to sell your old games to buy new games back in the day. Now you don't, because they're all, you know, it doesn't work that way. But, you know, that's...
And it's what Liverpool have done, and they've done it very successfully. And, you know, I know it's not, because it's getting compared to Sancho going to United and whoever going to Man City and whoever going to Chelsea. And it doesn't compare favourably, but it's what Liverpool have done. It's what Liverpool will continue to do. They will continue to, you know, get rid of a Dejan Lovren and bring in a Tsimikas and balance the books with a Rian Brewster going out the door and a Ryan Kent going out the door. You know, the little 3 and 4 million sales that they're going to produce with the likes of Kamil Grabara and whoever else, Liam Miller. That all plays its part in what Liverpool do with the squad, both in terms of the finances and in terms of the composition of the squad and making sure that, you know, you're not getting to a stage in September where you're saying the Premier League squad drops and you've got Jadon Shaqiri on however much money
a week.
Well,
they were very nearly like that last season. They had no choice but to shuffle things around Liverpool owned too many footballers. And Arsenal had that last year.
Exactly. Mesut Ozil wasn't in the squad, was he? And you look at... they basically ended up having to loan out two players in Wilson and Gruitch that probably could have played games for them, but there was no space for them in the squad. They wanted to sell them, they couldn't sell them, and they ended up having to just give them... In Gruitch's case, it was quite a good loan deal. In Wilson's, it was by far a perfect loan deal. He was dropping down a division from the Premier League the previous year. So they want to avoid those kind of situations. Doku, to go back to the player in question, I think he's a very, very good player. Furthered his reputation really well in the Euros, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if Liverpool were sniffing around him at some point in the future, maybe even at some point this summer, depending again on those factors that we've just discussed.
Yeah, there's a few other bits that we're definitely going to be discussing on Transfer Insight Extra over on the RedmenTV.com, which is a couple of the bits that you've mentioned about people moving out. Liam Miller, Grabara, the stuff about Divock Origi and a bit more on Grujic, but obviously people have been sending their questions in. We're going to get to some of them. Cool. Please feel free to get some more in while we're doing this right now. The first is, I mean, I guess it's not so much a question, but we'll chat around it, from Helen Raybould, saying we have to offload players, Karius, Ox, Wilson, Grujic, Origi, etc. You kind of have been discussing that already. Yeah. I mean, this is the point. You know, if nothing gets overlooked, Liverpool might have a secret war chest stashed away somewhere. They might. But when you look at the reality of it, you know, Wilson, they'll be hoping for 15 million for Wilson. Yeah. They'll be hoping for 15 million for Shaqiri. They'll be hoping for 15 million for Origi. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, well, for a start, there's Konate paid for with those. But it doesn't take much. There's a bunch of these players who clearly are surplus to requirements. Yeah. It's just, it's so hard to judge the window at the moment because there are nobody signing anyone.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? I think there will be a rush once the Euros finishes that you'll start to see the snowball effect, and going into August, I think, or end of July, start of August, when teams start going back, you will start seeing that. And also, you forget that there's the ripple effect of things like Sancho going to United, and suddenly Dortmund sign someone, and suddenly someone else is looking to sign someone.
United looking to move people on.
Yeah, exactly. That. So there's all that going on, and then there might be the same happening with City, with Kane or with Grealish or those kind of deals. So I think there's a lot of movement to come everywhere. And even if it's not at Liverpool, it could certainly impact Liverpool in the sense of suddenly a Werder Bremen have got some money to spend, or suddenly a Porto have got a little bit more in the budget, or a Benfica, or whoever it may be, Rangers. You know, you could have all these kind of clubs that are suddenly thinking, do you know what, 10 million for Harry Wilson's not a bad deal. Do you know what, yeah, let's go and get Nat Phillips and bring him in. You know, you look at, let's just say, Brighton lose Ben White to Arsenal. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Nat Phillips becomes out, or Tarkowski goes from Burnley and goes to Leicester or wherever. You know, so there's a lot to come.
What do you think is going to unlock it for Liverpool? Is there one player moving on?
No, I don't. I think the most saleable assets they've got at the moment, probably Shaqiri. You could probably say Nat Phillips is in there. Yeah. Just because of the states, and obviously Origi. You know, Origi is one of those that you can roll your eyes and say 15, 20 million for Divock Origi. He hasn't scored a league goal for however long. But yeah, Rian Brewster went for that. Dominic Solanke went for that. Danny Ings went for that after he'd had two serious cruciate injuries. I know he's done really well. You know, you look at other strikers. Ollie Watkins went for that from the Championship. There is value there. So you are looking there with...
None of them scored a Champions League final goal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, I'm pretty sure Origi's scored major tournament goals for Belgium. He's scored Champions League, Premier League, Bundesliga. So he's got pedigree. I think it would probably be around Origi, Shaqiri, Phillips. You're looking at them, you could make a case for close to 50 million for the three of those in a normal market. And that would obviously add an awful lot. And I don't ever get the impression, and you know, the commenters might pull me up, but I don't ever get the impression that Liverpool have sold loads of players and then we're looking around saying, well, hang on, where's that gone? It feels like that just gets reinvested, a bit like Thiago and Jota last year.
Yeah.
So if you do get those three off the books, let's just say, or Minamino instead of one of the two forwards, then I think that would open up a few avenues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. Etcham Ul Hassan saying, if you were to give a percentage of how many transfer rumours are proper rumours and we are actually in for the player, what would that be?
Oh, well, do you know what? I would say, if you're talking about published, if you're talking about, you know, let's just take the Twitter sort of, like you say, the unverified sources, let's go that way.
Yeah.
If you take a percentage of newspaper / websites / you know, what you call serious journalism. I mean, you can pick the bones out of that phrase, obviously. you know, and we all do. I would say there's usually something in some pretty much all of them, whether it's a lie. Sometimes it's a lie in the sense of the agent just says, "Oh, Liverpool are after my player," you know, like, yeah, and it's written. But there's something in it in the sense that someone said it, someone's told someone that. I wouldn't say it's 100%, and there are some easy rumours that seem to pop up and you think, hang on, that's a bit obvious, isn't it?
It never is. The amount of times where it's like, if you just pop one more club onto the end,
yeah.
Why not?
I mean, to be honest, I've seen it with my own. I'm not dissing my own website here, but there's often times when there'll be a profile on a young player and it'll say, linked with Chelsea and Liverpool or Manchester United and Liverpool, and I'll think, I haven't ever seen him linked with Liverpool, you know, where's that? And then you can look back and you go, ah, he was linked by, you know, a website in Belgium or wherever, or, you know, and you sort of think, that's a bit dubious. So I would say it's probably 80%, if I'm plugging a figure out of figure, but I'm saying at least 80% will have some sort of substance to it. Whether it's, sometimes it's oversold, sometimes it's overplayed, how serious something is, but there'll be something in there. You can usually pull the thread and you get somewhere that's an agent or it's a club trying to create a little market, or it's you know, a national team manager's just tipped someone off and said, look, I've got a lad there, you know, in the Ghana youth team, and he might go there. You know, there's usually some sort of thread to be pulled at.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Yeah, the amount of those which are generated by chairman of Turkish Super League clubs.
Yes. Domagoj Vida was one that I remember trying to explain to our Turkish team at goal, saying, look, Liverpool aren't signing Domagoj Vida. They're like, no, but the Beşiktaş chairman is saying that they are. I was like, I know. they're not signing them. But it's funny how that happens, isn't it? You know, there's real. I mean, do you know what? You'll know it a little bit yourself. I know from just the tittle-tattle conversations you have with anyone in round football, it'd be a journalist from another country, and they'll just sort of drop in. They'll say, oh, they've been looking at him, or, you know, oh, they made a bid for him in January, and you sort of think, did they, you know, all right, okay, yeah. And then you sort of, you can look down it, and not always, sometimes it's the case, sometimes you just get a tip off and you go, wow, where did that come from? You know, Seb Vandenberg was one of those where you sort of, someone says it and you go, what, like, you know, who's this guy? And then you do your calls and you do your checks and it's true. But yeah, there's a lot of tittle-tattle in football, within football. I'm not just talking about Twitter, I'm not just talking about, you know, the ITKs or whatever it may be, or journalists. There's a lot of people who speak.
It's not as simple as going and buying a product.
Yeah.
Because there's so many moving parts to each and every one of them. You know, you've got to make sure, you know, it's not like you pull out your debit card and you go over it and you know what I mean, and you chip and pin it and it is a one person transaction. Yeah, there's no anything else involved in that. The more stages there are, the more things. And I mean, even daft examples. I know a fella who's an agent. He gets, when he goes to see games or whatever, his tickets come via like a Belgian club or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, so he's on the there's probably people who go, oh, X club,
yeah, I've been watching looking this at player,
such and
yeah.
such, and it's like, it's not, it's just someone's gone, can you get me in this game? And someone's gone, go ahead.
Of course. And like, you know, there's a lot of people who, I was going to say, really, who, they're around a lot of parts of the game.
Yeah.
So a lot of scouts who talk to agents, there are a lot of people who scout for agencies, there are a lot of people. So, you know, you see players' agents speaking sometimes, and you think, okay. And then you speak to someone else in the game and say, he's not his agent. You know, he's just been doing a bit of work for him in France or whatever. You know, I know there's been a lot of problems with that kind of thing. The regulation of agents was taken, bringing back an exam for that, which I know a lot of agents are very happy about because it brings back some sort of order, or they feel it does. But there's a lot of times when you know, clubs can be speaking to four different people who say they represent a player, and one of them might be saying, yeah, Liverpool are really keen. Another one's saying, no, he's not going to Liverpool. He's going to send him to Germany. You know, one's saying he's staying where he is. He's going to sign a new... You know, you have all these moving parts. It's a very murky business. And I think sometimes we don't help ourselves as journalists because, you know, it's easy sometimes, isn't it, to just play along with the trick and say, look, yeah, he's a Man United target or he's a Liverpool target. It's hard to sift through it sometimes, but
keep trying. So you did. There's nothing to say that the solid information you have doesn't end up not panning out for a variety of reasons.
Listen, I've had plenty of. Look back as far as Nabil Fekir. He was that close to joining Liverpool. He was wearing the shirt, and it still didn't happen. And doesn't mean you're wrong. Doesn't mean you know nothing. Doesn't mean there was nothing in the story. It just means something changed.
Yeah.
You know. Something.
It's definitely something to be wary of. Khaled, same with the super chat, saying, why does Klopp keep faith with Ox and Keita? Now, we saw a lot of like rumblings around the Keita stuff for this summer, like if a bid came in, you know, maybe this is the summer that we moved on. We've not seen anything around either of them at all so far.
No, I don't know. I'll stop with Keita, really, because I think the word from Liverpool is no chance he'll be leaving. But it's an interesting situation both of them, I think, are getting into, certainly Keita is, where something's going to have to happen in the next year, because he's either going to be into the final year of his contract, or he's going to have to sign a new one, or he's going to have to be sold, pretty much. And I suppose you'd say the first port of call is games, isn't it, and playing and getting some under his belt. He does tend to be knocking around at the start of seasons, Keita, doesn't he? I think he started the first few games of last season. Pretty sure he started a few early on in the when he definitely started in his debut season. So I think why he persists with them, Klopp, is because he believes in their ability, and I think he's got, there is a
skill sets that both of them possess that are very expensive skill sets.
Yes, exactly. And you throw Dejan Lovren and Joel Matip into that mix, so I could make a case, and a lot of people can make a case, that, well, yeah, Dejan Lovren was great in the squad, but he was injured so much and he makes mistakes occasionally. Joel Matip's a great player, but he's injured too much and you can't bank on him. But Jurgen Klopp's thought was, well, yeah, you could pay £50 million to get someone as good as Dejan Lovren. Whether you believe that's right or not, mm-hmm. that's what Jurgen believed. And he might get injured as well. So then, you've got an injured player that you had anyway, and he's not as good as the player that you've got rid of. And you could make the same point about Joel Matip. I think you can make the same point about Keita, certainly, probably Ox as well. I mean, I have more doubts about Ox than I do about Keita as a long-term player for Liverpool, because I don't see many games that he starts in where you think, yeah, that's the right decision.
I've said if we've had a few players down the years like this, if he was 31, you'd be laughing.
Yeah.
Because drop him in here and there for games.
If you just put him into the Milner role,
he can play in loads of positions and you're thinking, well, he's not going to expect it. But you'd also look at it and go, if he can stay fit for a season, he'd be very good for a lot of good teams.
Yeah, absolutely that. And he's probably still got enough credit in the bank and value that you could probably get a good price for him. But that's why Klopp keeps faith with them, because he believes in their ability. He's probably a little bit, if you were going down the route of Mourinho being at one end of the extreme of sort of cut them off, loyalty lasts as long as they're useful for me, and Klopp's probably at the other end of that extreme where he is maybe too loyal, if anything. And I think that probably falls into the category of Ox and Keita, that he doesn't want to just dismiss them. You look at like Adam Lallana, for example, he kept him probably longer than he might have done. I think the builders love him, would probably be a season longer than Dejan would have wanted. I think he wanted to leave the summer before. So yeah, there's probably a few players that fall into that category that he has more faith in them than probably Twitter does.
fair enough. The last one we got for now, unless anyone wants to get any more in, Matthew Eckersley saying, I'd be sad to see Minamino and Keita leave. They have more potential to offer. Who's excited for the Anfield Road expansion? Yeah, the Minamino stuff's another one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, my general feeling on it, more than ever before, I think a lot of the future lies in what happens in pre-season. It'll rely on bids coming in for certain players, certainly. But I just wonder whether there's a couple of examples. I think Harvey Elliott's probably one of these. Yeah. Minamino's one of these. And then the fitness of the centre-halves and all that kind of stuff. It's actually probably the most important pre-season Liverpool have had in quite a while.
Yeah, you're right. Especially with the Copa America and maybe a few players missing most of pre-season. You know, Jordan will probably not be back for, until probably a week before the season starts, maybe.
Yeah.
It's less of a strange pre-season as well, in the sense of you're not going around America and doing your tours and you're playing in these weird international Champions Cup games and that kind of thing. It's a little bit more tight and sort of, you imagine it'll be, I wouldn't say there's more training time, but I imagine there's more behind closed doors.
Yeah.
There's more behind closed doors going on. So, yeah, if you can take a step forward, I think Harvey Elliott's a great example, really. You know, I'm very interested to see what happens with him. You look at probably Reece Williams would be in that category of, is he going to build on what he did last year, or is he going to sort of be one of them that you go, thanks for everything, and off he goes to the Championship and see how you get on there? Nat's in that position. Minamino's definitely one that, I suppose, what are you looking for from him? You're looking for does he understand why he was loaned out?
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best way of putting it. Does he understand? Because I wouldn't have loaned him, mm-hmm. and I was surprised that Liverpool did, but he did, and there was a reason for it. And does he know that? Because he didn't rip it up at Southampton. He didn't do badly, but he didn't rip it up. He didn't go and play every game even. He didn't score that many goals. Is he going to come back and just be the same player that was loaned out? And if so, then it's not going to work for him. Yeah. Or is he going to come back with this sort of desire of, hang on, you know what, right? Something's clicked with me and I know what I need to do to be a Liverpool player. And you have to say the odds are stacked against them, because not many players go out on loan and end up coming back and becoming a star for most clubs, really. But certainly for Liverpool in recent years, it hasn't really happened. But you'll get chances, at least in the pre-season, with Bobby away and with, doubts over Origi and Shaqiri and whoever else.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, as you say, what happens if you can't move any of the players on? I don't think they were desperate to move Brewster on last summer.
Yeah.
But there becomes a point where you do have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Someone's got to go.
Yeah.
And if no one wants the other things that you've got, maybe you'd have to part with something that you yeah. you prefer to keep
yeah.
over something else. But yeah, definitely interesting one. Definitely one to keep an eye on. Right, we're going to be doing Transfer Insights Extra over on the RedmenTV.com. We're going to be discussing some of the players who have moved out. Say Liam Miller moving on, and our Liverpool briefing about Divock Origi staying at Liverpool and what could that mean and how true that is. So do check that out. That'll be streaming on the RedmenTV.com. Come over and watch that. And don't forget as well, we've got a whole host of amazing extra features over on there, including a full 50-minute interview with Liverpool player Trent Alexander-Arnold on our Henderson 10 Years of Red documentary, which is so good. Neil Jones even texted me to say that it was good.
Good player.
Good
player. Good player,
good,
yeah.
Good doc, says Neil yeah. Jones of goal.com. Yeah, do be sure to check out Neil's stuff over on Goal as well. And yeah, we'll be back with another Transfer Insight next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.